What's shaking, everybody? It's the Fan Morning Show.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy, JD Bunkus.
It's hump day.
I've never
remember
liked
those
the
commercials.
Term.
There was those commercials, wasn't it like a camel that used to be like hump day?
You made nobody? That up.
That's you real.
You made that up. You were obviously.
There's a listener out there that's gonna remember. Yeah.
I remember that's the commercial me. That went, "You are high, way too high," and that's the commercial I think that has to do with this.
No.
Yes. Like, good morning to you. You are jacked up. You're official. You know what, Ailish? Let me be the first person to welcome you back to the show. You are no longer on vacation. Ailish of you. You're back.
You.
Like you're out of the sleepy doldrums of 2021. You're fully here. Welcome to 2022, Ailish. On the 5th, Ailish Forfar has arrived, everyone. What's up,
glad
Ailish?
To be here.
Good morning.
Glad to be yeah. here. I'm just
it's
holding
nice
on to the
to
past.
See you. Yeah. Blake, would you agree? January 5th? You've been here since Jan 1. Blake is efficient, right? That's Blake's whole thing. Analytics. He's like, January 1st is the first day of 2022. That's analytics. I showed up that day. New year, new me. I think I showed up January 3rd. But that's the days that we all decided to be ourselves in the new year.
Yeah, there's no analytics to this. This is the this is moon cycles and stuff like that. This is this is the spooky what's that called? Zodiac astrological stuff.
That's you guys love so much. That I met you guys for the first time together, the three of us all hanging out, and these two launched into how they love Zodiac signs within the first 30
There's
seconds.
There's no
of me
way
down.
that is They're, accurate.
I was like, "Hey guys, nice to meet you." And you're like, "Oh my god, what are you? Are you Pisces? Because the moon today is very."
I don't know anything
sharp.
About that stuff. Yeah. Okay, don't yeah. put me in
Look,
the generic.
I just thought it was alarming that I flipped over a tarot card of a guy being yeah. a guy who looks like me being hung by a microphone cord. I just thought that was a bad omen for the start of the show. That's all.
Yeah,
we already got a text, 590-590.
Oh, wow.
She's right. The camel commercial was awesome. Brad from Allison. Thank you, Brad. Good morning. Happy hump day.
Sometimes because Ailish has control of the
You think
text
I make
line,
this up?
I just, she's like, also now Chris agrees with Ailish. Chris writing in. Wow, Ailish,
you
so
can log
smart.
On to the text line yeah. and take a look
so,
if you'd like, okay?
So smart of Ailish. What an observation. The text line is basically just this line you create.
Vic just told me it's a Geico commercial, so it's a real
yeah,
thing,
shut up,
guys.
Vic?
Yeah,
Vic
Vic's on my
like,
team.
No,
Vic misses Vic. Us. He's watching it right now, so it's a real thing, guys. Hump day.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Oh, here we go. Jim from St. Catharines, the hump day camel is such a thing. Thank you, wow. Jim.
Oh, Crindy wow. from West Dumbleberry.
Crindy.
Yeah. Schmertle. I just like making up the names. Okay, so Fred.
Text us your best Fred. Fake names. Yeah. 590. Yeah.
Fred from Toronto, lighting
He's a
it
real
up.
Guy.
Fred from Toronto, a real guy. These are his last. His point totals in his last five games: 31, 27, 31, 35, 33. Woo, pretty good. That short little dude really wants to go to the NBA All-Star game.
He sure does, and he has been. That's not only volume; we're talking lethal efficiency over that five-game stretch. Mm-hmm. So that's 31.4 points. He's also added 8.4 assists. He's doing all that on about 24 used possessions per game. Only one turnover in his last four games. Oof. And carrying that kind of volume. And I know the scoring is what stands out, but when you have 33-1 as an assist to turnover ratio over, I don't care how many games, you could do that over 33 games if you want. You're just coming in for one assist. That's incredible. So a 33-1 assist to turnover ratio over the last four. He is shooting about 50% on a monster volume of threes. So almost 13 threes a game during that five-game stretch, and he's at 46.9%. He's always a lethal free throw shooter, but he's only missed one free throw in that time as well. Just a monster stretch here. And I don't think it's a coincidence that this has kind of taken off as their playmaking wings get back and get healthy and get some reps playing together. Because I think, you know, we've toyed around with it a little bit this year of like, okay, well, what's the man discussion? Pascal Siakam's offseason comments about who's the man and what does this offense tiered look like? Man, this offense sure looks best when Fred can get off the ball and be a scoring guard a little bit more.
Do you think that maybe his wife must be pregnant with another child because he's got that dad strength again? He's got those vibes, like something special's cooking over there.
Yeah, I don't know. Blake. There's no all-star bonus in his contract, so it's not that's pushing him. It might be, you know, there's Sinai, there's Fred
Jr. You heard it here first.
There might be another one on the way. I don't know.
Yeah, so noted sex haver, Fred VanVleet, lighting it up. Absolutely lighting it up.
Oh, I mean, he was just in quarantine for a little bit.
Okay. What else are you going to do? Kids are listening.
You're the one who brought it up. How do you think babies get made? Like, what are you talking about? So
the stork.
He has been incredible recently. I've loved his entire season, essentially. You can nitpick with a few certain things. But, yeah, Blake, this is sort of what I brought up to you earlier when I've had basically only one critical thought about Fred this entire season, and it was, hey, are you supposed to be the point guard or are you supposed to be the shooting guard? And it's looking more and more like he is supposed to be the shooting guard.
Yeah, I mean, there's an element of that. I don't know that we want to be as reductive as the five traditional positions because
sure,
he's
but
also,
come on, you know what I'm saying here. Like,
I
this
know,
guy
but,
is not your classic Chris Paul.
Sorry.
He's trying to get into the, hey, I want to set everybody up. This is a classic point guard who is the first primary role of this player is to distribute the ball to the others. It's looking more and more like his primary role is a scorer, which traditionally is what you think of with a shooting guard.
Yeah, and I think that's you know, a good fit for him, right? Like, he's their best shooter. You could argue Gary Trent, but Van Vliet's the one who can get off 12 per 100 possessions at 40%, and he could do that spotting up. He could do that walking into one. He could do that off the dribble. Now, I will say Fred is putting up a career high assist percentage, and he leads the team in assist percentage. So it's not as if he's pivoted into being some ball hog or anything like that. But yeah, he's been much more impressive as a scorer than he has been as a passer. And he's hanging around like 20th in the league in assist percentage. So you would say either that's a low-end PG1 or like a really high-end off-ball guy. And I think that's the right mix for him, right? Like, gummed up possessions, he's still their best pick-and-roll operator. But the best version of Fred and the best version of this offense, I think, is going to be Scottie Barnes and Pascal Siakam handling the ball a little bit more, letting Fred do things like set some screens, work in Spain, pick and roll, fly off of. We saw the one play last night off of inbound where Siakam makes a great feed and Ken Birch just kind of pins Fred's guy to free Fred for a corner three. And that's the kind of stuff that you can only really do with Fred. Gary Trent's a good shooter, but he doesn't have the kind of off-ball acumen that Fred has. You know, so I think that this is kind of where the best version of this offense is going to be, which is Fred just kind of, sure, when the possession gets gummed up, there's 8 seconds left or whatever, or when it's a hybrid bench unit, he's handling, he's operating and organizing you a little bit. But when your main guys are out there and you're at your best, he's flying around off the ball with an eye to scoring while Siakam and Barnes take a little bit more playmaking out of his hands.
Yeah, so he's clearly the team's primary scorer right now, which is great, but it also does say something about Siakam, right? Like, I don't know what it says necessarily. I guess I'm still trying to parse that out, but it's a really tough one where you say, well, the Raptors' wings, who can handle the ball, that includes Pascal Siakam. I'm not sure that's a thing that you pay a max contract for. I'm not really sure that's what you intended with that role when you first got it. Do you think that given the way that we maybe almost have to shift and look at this, and this isn't to be a Raptors apologist, but it's just simply Fred's contract might be so cheap, Pascal's might be the overpay, that it actually sort of balances out into one correct or two correct contracts.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fine way to look at it, I think. And if you're the organization, that's how you kind of have to look at it, right? Because that's what you paid. That's locked up. I do think there's some risk in, like, you know, if Siakam's not, quote unquote, the guy as your number one scorer, well, do you want him forcing that? Or do you want him to kind of find where his role is? And I think that, you know, in addition to, hey, he's averaging almost a career high in assists and assist percentage right now, and especially of late, he's hit his zone as a playmaker, still putting up 20 a game on moderate efficiency. But the big one for me is he's kind of taken it on himself to become the team's best rebounder, too. Precious is the only guy on the team with a better rebounding rate. So I do think that he is trying to find his spots to contribute if he's not going to be the highest volume scorer and the highest usage guy. He does still have the highest usage percentage, but, you know, that's like, look at how this team has operated over the last five. Like, this has been Fred's team during that stretch. I don't think there's much question about how that's felt and how that's kind of the pecking order's gone.
But do you feel as though this has been a deviation by Nick Nurse to make this more this way, or that this was something that looks more organizational from a planning standpoint? Because I'm with you. I like when Siakam is more of a second fiddle that can sometimes play the role of a number one, but most of the time is slotted as a guy who doesn't need to be the man. My biggest issue with the whole Siakam offseason was not that I dislike Pascal Siakam. It was that the guy seemed to be putting too much on his shoulders. And it was, hey, you're not that guy, pal. You're not that alpha dog. Come in and be the number one player on a winning franchise. And I think that's been pretty clear. But there are nights here where he sort of, you're right, ends up kind of having a bit of more sleepy statistics. It's been a weird little stretch here over this last five, especially with some of the opponents, the no people in the arenas, the Knicks with their absolute no roster. But to me, Siakam has looked really good. He had that game against Philly where he absolutely packed the score sheet. He's had a game where he almost had 20 rebounds, 19 rebounds, 14 rebounds, 12 rebounds for Siakam. You're right. Like, focusing on different elements of his game has been terrific for him. And so it's just a little strange considering he was like, I'm at a place with the front office where I'm the guy. And now we're discussing this where we're going, well, you can see the vision come into place, which is that they really want it to be Fred as the guy with wings that distribute around him and sort of free him up to be a primary scorer.
Yeah, I think it's probably not that conscious from the team's perspective, like possession to possession. Like, we talk about these last five games and Pascal taking a big jump as a rebounder and a passer. He's still averaging 23 points a game in that stretch. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's not getting his touches. So I think this is, you know, I think, if he were being 1,000% honest and he had the offensive distribution the way that he would prefer, he would be the guy. But I also think him and Fred have been together for 6 years, and there's probably a good amount of communication and respect and understanding that, hey, when Fred's going and drawing more attention, that's going to open up other things in Pascal's game and vice versa. So I think, you know, I think the best version of this group and the best way for Siakam to approach it, I haven't spoke to him about this because I haven't been around the arena or anything, not that we're allowed to get close to anyone anyway. But I think the best thing for both of these guys, and especially Siakam, when you're talking about, like, hey, what's the kind of mental weight on your shoulders and how does the late game look, is just consider it 1A and 1B. Like neither one of them is a pure number one anyway. So just share it and feel it out. Like, almost like, you know, obviously with Kyle and DeMar, Kyle was the guy who drove the impact stats and DeMar was the top scorer. But we used to hear them talk all the time about, like, oh yeah, we talked and, you know, this felt like a Kyle matchup, or like, hey, something was working, so this was a DeMar quarter and Kyle kind of got off the ball. And I think that that's kind of the best approach for those two guys.
How much of the recent stretch of five games that we've seen, you know, everybody pushing it is because they want Fred to get on the All-Star voting? And even Nick Nurse, like, kind of hinted at it, like, we want to get him there. Obviously, we need to win more games, but how much is it like, hey, let's take a backseat, let's set Fred up more, let's give him more opportunity to shine so he can be an all-star?
I think that Nurse sort of, if there's anything, there's 0% of me that believes that the Raptors are deviating towards some type of we're trying to do individual statistics, because, like, I texted you guys last night watching the post game. Someone asked Nick Nurse about Fred's All-Star candidacy. Basically, the easy setup of, hey, and is that why Fred is an All-Star? You know, that question where basically they're just hoping to write the Fred VanVleet is an All-Star column and have... This is where a coach almost 9 million times out of 9 million goes, listen, if the rest of our league doesn't know who this guy is at this point, then they're clowns and Fred's an All-Star by any measure, blah, blah, blah. Nurse goes, hey, we got to climb up the standings first, and then once we start doing that, we're going to start looking at Fred, and he should have those numbers that they're there. He deserves to be there, but standings. This guy's still trying to preach winning, and by his metric, you have to have wins to have all-stars, and so I don't think that this is in any way some type of stat chasing for all-star votes. I think that the Raptors organization thinks way beyond that. And that, simply put, the head coach might be the number one coach in the NBA in terms of disregarding that notion and putting real stock into... Like, I thought it was... I don't want to say shocking, but it was a little bit... I was a little bit taken back watching Nurse answer it that way, not with just an immediate glowing review of his team's best player.
Yeah, I mean, look, if we're being honest, like, I think there's a pragmatism about that, which is... There could be some fatigue of campaigning for your guy over the next month. And I tweeted this out and I put in our group chat as well that January 28th is when coaches will start their vote for the All-Star reserves. I know that the team's pushing vote for Fred, and Raptors fans should vote for Fred because it looks good on him to get the numbers and stuff like that. And it's just nice to pat your guy on the back. He's not getting in as a starter. So you don't really need to worry about that so much. It's the coaches' reserve votes, and that's January 28th to 31st. That's the window, which gives the Raptors 12 to 14 more games to help him out. So I could see, Ailish, to your point, I could certainly see, you know, January 29th, whatever game that is, and if, you know, say they're up 12, they're up 14 or something like that, yeah, Fred, get your numbers. Let's make one more statement before the coaches put their ballots in. But I think they're being realistic that they got it. The best thing they can do for his chances is to get up into that 6-7 range in the Eastern Conference by the time that rolls around. Because, again, to Nick Nurse's point, to how Dwayne Casey has said it before, a couple other coaches, the way you fill out your ballot is you bring up the standings page and you go down that way, not necessarily the points per game page. So, but Ailish, to your point, I do think that whatever that last game ends up being, and I think it's a game against the Miami Heat, curiously enough. So right before the coaches vote, the Raptors have the Bulls and the Heat back-to-back. So you get a Fred versus DeMar and a Fred versus Kyle back-to-back. Could be a spicy time for him to pull a W that kind of swings the final vote. Mm-hmm.
The only part of this, and it's not to ruin some of the excitement because Fred has been great, is who they've played, and these five games include, you know, that Warriors game where Jonathan Kuminga was the team's best player. They include that Clippers game where
Xavier Moon,
that's what I want to say, Jamario Moon's nephew got burned. It includes a Knicks game where I couldn't recognize a bunch of players, and now a Spurs team that was missing two of their best three players, which is fine because that's the way the rest of the league is operated. The Raptors have suffered from that too. But yeah, the next three of their next four games come against the Bucks, the Jazz, and the Suns. And I don't think the Raptors are contenders, and so it's not like these are measuring stick games where I look at it and go, hey, this is where you stand in terms of can you win a title this year. But in terms of trying to kind of parse out a little bit more information, these next ones will mean a little bit more for me as the Raptors are healthy here than them beating up on some shorthanded teams that are kind of the lesser lights of the NBA. I want to move on.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we'll talk more about how this lineup being back and then playing some lineups where OG's the smallest player on the court. Because I just want to say that, like, I know there's more to this game that people want to talk about. We got William Liu coming on a little bit later, so we'll talk to him about those specifics. And then we've got Tim Bontemps at the nine o'clock hour to talk about Fred's All-Star candidacy and a bunch of other stuff around the Eastern Conference. So the other thing from this game, and the Raptors covered dramatically. JD, you didn't end up needing to tease it. Jakob Poeltl, 19-12-4, the double-double, the easiest bet on the board, took 16 minutes to get there. Jakob Poeltl is another one of these guys that we've talked a lot about DeMar and Kyle of late, mostly DeMar because he's having such a ridiculous stretch. And JD, you and I were texting last night about being in on some JV player props against a centerless Suns team. It's kind of interesting and fun for the Raptors fans to still support all these ex-Raptors who weren't around for the championship. And a lot of that is you won a title because of those moves. So there's an afterglow there of it all worked out for you, so you can have that appreciation. How are we feeling about how Leaf fans are going to treat Zach Hyman? I know there's no fans in the arena, but Zach Hyman's back tonight. This was a big circle on the calendar game before everything went to the way it went.
So, yeah, Zach Hyman back in town tonight, the Toronto kid, someone who has been unquestionably a Leafs fan favorite during his tenure with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, yeah, I don't know. It's tough to compare with the Raptors because of that championship element, right? Versus a player who was very, very much a fan favorite, but a part of the most disappointing stretch of Toronto Maple Leafs hockey that I can remember in a very, very long time anyways, certainly in the salary cap era, where hopes and expectations have been highest and where they have been met with nothing but collapses, crashes, losses, first-round exits. All I can think about with Hyman coming back to town, and this is something that I wouldn't mind having texts and I wouldn't mind exploring with the guests and just in terms of how we all feel about it is, yeah, no fans. But had fans been there, I don't think anybody's booing Zach Hyman. I don't think it's to that degree. He gets a video tribute. He's there. He probably tears up. He's a local kid. And everyone celebrates it and moves on. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if it's actually more of the DeMar DeRozan thing where, yeah, someone's still liked, but they're not nearly as appreciated because of what the return was, right? There's a return thing here. Where every Leafs fan at first, at the very beginning of the season, was pining over Zach Hyman, wondering why didn't we have Zach Hyman? Why didn't the Leafs prioritize him more as a core piece of this organization? And now, a couple months into the season, we're looking at this going, wow, the Oilers really don't have any depth. The Oilers are a team that really stink. Hyman is signed up to this long contract with real money attached to him. And the Leafs are getting much, 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 much better bang for their buck with the likes of Kasha and Bunting. Like, you could take Bunting alone and make a case. Mm-hmm. Not just take him with all the money that we've already outlined on the show the first time that they met him. And so I wondered about that, and also if there is going to be a little bit of a fan resentment after a game like tonight if the Leafs just thumped them of, hey, man, you left, Zach. You left, and by all reports, it came down to things like no trade clauses and potentially one more year of term. And Michael Bunting, as much as he is a rookie and trying to earn his place in the league and didn't sacrifice nearly as much, guy did take less to be here. He took less to be a Toronto Maple Leaf. And by all accounts, Hyman went and got his. And so there's no, hey, Hyman, let's fault you for doing that. But it is one of those, especially given the parameters of this team, right? The stars got paid here, so why should someone not get paid when they get their one opportunity to get a contract? But looking back on it now, I don't know if Hyman would be viewed the same way as what he would have been, say, at the very beginning of the season, where had that return been in the first couple of weeks, people would have been rooting him on like crazy and freaking out that he was there and celebrating him in a way that I just don't think he will be now.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of recency bias to how I feel. Definitely at the beginning of the season when the Oilers were hot, Zach Hyman was one of their best players, most consistent players. I felt a little bit of, oh, I wish that was us type thing. The Leafs were down bad. It just was like the most contrast. Now we look and the Oilers are on a terrible, terrible streak. And Hyman kind of just floated away from your forefront of your mind when you're thinking about the Toronto Maple Leafs because things are going well. Also, with the Bunting situation at the beginning of the season, he was good. He was one of the best players. So I think wow, okay, we got this guy for a steal. Things are okay here. When you talk about any resentment, like as a fan watching, I think that's, I don't feel that way towards him. Maybe it's because he was well-liked. He was a hard worker. He was a Toronto guy. I almost take that as even harder for the guy to make the decision. And in my perspective, I almost give him more credit for doing what he needed to do. I don't think that there's any resentment. I do feel...
You don't think there's like a little bit of though, like this could have been you, man. Like you could have been on this team and instead.
Yeah,
you went
I feel
to
like
Edmonton
he's probably and... feeling that himself. Like I don't need to add to that. But as a fan,
you don't need to add to
well,
that.
Like I don't know. This is just my perspective, but I don't feel the resentment. I think I do feel disappointed with the return. I was excited for, as you said, the Jumbotron moment to see him be honored. He was a heart and soul of being a Toronto Maple Leaf, and he definitely put that every time he put the jersey on, had a lot of pride. But so the situation maybe adds to my nonchalant feeling about it because it's not going to be as celebrated, and maybe that makes me feel better as a fan, like, oh, he's moved on, so can we.
Yeah, I think there's an element of, you know, the best, if you're feeling resentful, the best revenge is living well, right? And Hyman, he missed the last couple Edmonton wins, so he's played in 9 consecutive losses on that side. He has one point in his last 6. The Leafs are kind of rolling. I think it feels a lot different if Edmonton is very legitimate, and it feels a lot different if the Leafs are struggling and mm-hmm. you're seeing the
like
absence
at the
of Hyman.
Beginning of the season, right?
Yeah, and like then you're looking for like, hey, the team's still cycling through lines to figure out who's replacing that Hyman stuff. Honestly, I think most Leaf fans, I think, are you know, at least cap savvy enough to understand that this was a lot of economic decision mm-hmm. as much as it was like, hey, we believe in Hyman or whatever. There's also just that awkward element of like, and I think what makes this really confusing and what leaves a lot of room for personal interpretation is Hyman was really good and he was a really good fit. But like you said off the top, JD, he was a part of some really disappointing teams and a lot of conversation that the team needed to try something different. And I don't think there's anyone who was like, hey, Hyman's the thing they need to try different. But the economics of the way this team is built necessitated he was the guy.
But I think you're focusing a little bit too much on the resentment part of it, especially when, mm-hmm. you know, you gave your thought, Ailish, is I do believe that there are going to be some fans that have the na-na-na-boo-boo mentality with this because it's Canadian and it's sports. And so, like, I don't personalize things when I talk about players that way or fans or anything like that. I think about it just, hey, you're a sports fan. That's awesome. You probably like another guy having it stuck to him. And I will always believe that there's going to be some fans that are like that. But the bigger thing is what you said about nonchalant feeling or the lack of emotion, I guess. That's sort of where I'm getting at, where there's not at all a debate about whether or not the Leafs should have signed Zach Hyman. It's just, it's conclusive. Could you imagine meeting someone right now that said, oh, they should have re-signed Zach Hyman and not had the guys that they replaced him with, that they shouldn't have had Bunting and Kasha in camp with the same money? You would go, pardon me? You really believe that? Hyman has had a major knee surgery in his career. He's older than Michael Bunting, and he's making big money for a very, very long time. Is it 7 years that he has that contract? I hate how much we look at sports through the prism of contracts now, especially with salary caps. It's one of the worst things about the cap. It's one of the worst things about being an NHL fan right now. But the idea that nobody really cares that Hyman is here because we go, hey, it's a good player, but nice to see you, but we've all moved on. We obviously won this breakup this early in the breakup is a little shocking to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where like it is what it is, right? Like there's not, I mean, you laid it out there. I thought Ailish's point was good. It's there's not a lot more to it than that. And honestly, there's a little, I know it's his return, so like right now we have to kind of call the shot in the air. Mm-hmm. But like it's also one of those things that like people's opinion on it might ebb and flow, right? Like Ailish said, at the start of the year was a little more difficult.
No,
it's crystallized now. Pick your side,
pick your side,
yeah,
and that's it, buddy.
I mean, you guys know how I feel. I'm always gonna just be like, well, look, the way the cap works necessitated you cash in that guy for a few guys cheaper and try to chip it, put it together that way. You know, I miss watching Zach Hyman play. Mm-hmm. I really liked him as a player, but I think mostly, yeah, the nonchalance thing is fine. And that's honestly, if I were a player coming back, and again, I know there's no crowd tonight, but the absolute worst feeling returning to a place that meant a lot to you would be nonchalance from the other side.
That's it. This is all I'm trying to get at here, is that sure, we can qualify things and say that it might evolve over time. Sure, I guess. Like one day, Zach Hyman might win a Conn Smythe and we go back and look at his career in a way and say maybe he wasn't the piece that he should have been moved off of. Mm. But as of this very moment, it looks like one of the savviest decisions in the league. The Leafs look like a deep team, deeper than they have looked in a very long time. And mm-hmm. the Oilers look extremely top-heavy and have a lot of reminiscence to Leafs teams that failed. At least the Leafs got it done in the regular season. My God, the Oilers can't even figure out that part of the equation. The conversation really right now is around whether the Oilers are going to make the postseason or not, whether that's going to be something they can do in their craptastic division. They play in the Pacific, for God's sakes, and they can't get this done. So, yeah, Zach, welcome back. Welcome home. But everyone, it's one of those, oh, Zach's home. Oh, hey, everyone, we're still watching the football game. He's not the relative now that comes home to the Thanksgiving party that stops everybody in their tracks. And we all start welcoming in and saying, oh, did you want a beer? Did you want something to bite to eat? It's like, hey, man, go get your own stuff and sit down. The rest of us are watching TV. We'll catch up later.
He's not the type of guy you're making a beautiful charcuterie spread, a little bakery.
No.
You're
no.
just like, hey, there's a bag of chips. Dig in.
Yeah, there's chips.
That's how
in the basement.
I would view it. In the basement, go get them yourself. And they're not even the good kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are those garbage 7.5 out of 10 chips in the basement.
Yeah. Seven out of 10. My God. It's triggering
all right,
me. It's triggering me.
Don't bring that up so early.
Maybe we'll take a break. But by the way, yeah, if you want to text in or you want to write in, mm-hmm. You want to tweet, DM, either way, hit us up on the social medias, at JD Bunkus, at Ailish4Far, at eBlakeMurphy, and at BlakeMurphyODC. Subscribe to this podcast, follow this podcast, do all those lovely things that we appreciate so much. It's so nice whenever I see those 5-star reviews coming in on either Spotify or iTunes. Let's take a break, let's come back, and let's do the A-list with the blue boy. Next. Sportsnet 5-9 of the Fan.
It's hump day. What a tune. I was mad.
So the context here for everyone is that whatever's going on with the lighting in Ailish's place, she looks extremely blue. She claims her microphone is black, her sweater is black.
I am wearing a black hoodie and my microphone's black, and yet in the Zoom, I'm like glowing indigo blue.
Yeah, it looks like had one of those fancy ink pens in high school explode in your backpack.
Yeah, I was thinking... who's the character in, it's like something Clump or something in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? The kid who eats all the blueberry pie, where he turns into a big blueberry? Violet? You're turning violet, is what Vic said. It's like, that's you right now with just violet. You're so blue. I don't understand how this is happening. But yeah, Ailish is just blue. It's just Smurf. It's your violet. That's
well.
What's
when the sun rises finally in this apartment, I will
turn just
to my normal colors. Yeah. But yeah, as of now, it's the fluorescent lighting.
Blue. Oh, okay.
All right.
So what's on the A-list today?
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
The A-list. Let's start. Let's provoke a response from Blake to to begin. Your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, boy.
And the radio station in Canada and maybe North America that gives the most airtime to Jacksonville Jaguars. They're down bad, but their fan base. See, I don't follow any of these people online, obviously, except for you. They're very unhappy with their GM, as you can imagine, Blake. So they're planning on showing up to Sunday's season finale wearing clown costumes and in numbers. Thousands of people.
Story already.
Thousands of people are hoping to, or are planning on showing up to the game in clown costumes. And many, 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 many fans have changed their Twitter avatars to a clown and are replying to every single tweet under the team account. Like, if you go take a look at Jaguars and you look at the responses, everybody just has a clown emoji as their face. I gotta know, Blake, where do you fall on the clown spectrum? Are you full clown? Or are you just putting a little bit of face paint
you're
up?
King of the clowns, I would say.
Yeah, he's already nodding. Yeah.
Clown baby. Yeah. Clown baby. Yeah, I mean, I also like the Joker being photoshopped into a lot of Jaguars stuff is a good thing for me. You know, it's fun that the fans have done that together. I don't know if like the coming at Shad Khan specifically is necessary. Like, I don't know how much he has a hand in the day to day or whatever. I will say I have not loved the reporting coming out about the who they're looking at for head coaches, and they're like whisking these guys off to mystery locations and stuff like that. I don't have a good feeling about where this is going.
I love this story. This is one of my favorite A-list stories we've ever had. I like when fans wear paper bags. I like when fans have this sort of... when they come together and there's unity amongst the fan base. You're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan? You're a clown. You're just a clown. You've all been clowns going to your clown show, piling into the massive clown car and watching this team, and every year expecting what exactly? It's been horrific. Of course Shad Khan deserves a ton of blame for this. He's the owner. He's the one. When you're like, I don't like some of the early reports of who they're thinking of hiring. Blake, who do you think that's running through? Who do you think that signs off on those paychecks? Like, he's the guy that, if you're a Jags fan, the biggest problem with this team has been that the owner doesn't want to even be in Jacksonville. He wants to be the team Europe. He's begging for them to expand to Europe and be the London Jaguars. And then Blake someday is going to have to go over to jolly old England to see his team play. Like, that they're all clowns. They're not even loved by the one person who's supposed to love the most, the owner. No, the clown setup is hilarious. It's amazing. It's just a twist on the paper bag. It's your own thing. It's another level to it. I love it. It's amazing. I will say that I don't care for the Joker thing, though, just because the Joker thing is such a weird, nerdy, creepy thing to me now. When people dress up like the Joker, they're like, "Lou, look at my little statement here." I'm like, ugh, just dress up like a normal clown, all right? Bozo is the clown, all right? Bozo.
Imagine all the people
that don't...
He's
not even supposed to be here.
Yeah, he's
dubbed
over.
Imagine all the people that don't have social media, though, like the older fans that are going to show up to the game and be like, why are there tens of thousands of people dressed like clowns? Like, that'll be funny for them.
Right. But what
but this
we tell
is why
them
I love
is,
it. They'll get it.
What we tell them
no,
is,
it's great.
Is, yeah, also, and like, if you don't get why everyone is dressed like a clown, guess what? You're a clown.
You're a clown.
Yeah. What I love picturing now, too, is having like a face painting stations outside of the stadium before
instead
you go
of tailgating,
in, you can just sit
it's like,
down. Yeah.
Get your face painted.
Yeah.
The souvenirs are like wigs.
Do you want a Jaguar on your face? No, Dad. I'm tired of Shad Khan. I want a clown on my face.
Love
yeah,
it.
I love it.
I can't
I
wait to
it.
See the images and the memes. So
I'm just
go
surprised
go
there are this many Jaguars fans and this many people going to a Jaguars game, honestly.
Hey, yeah. It's part... It's
clowns.
That'll probably be their most attended game. Just so they can get their clown costumes going. Let's stick with football. The Washington football team finally announced that they are going to announce their new name on February 2nd. And they've narrowed it down. They've narrowed it down finally to these eight options. And I want to get your takes, which one you think should win or you would go with. And these are the final names. Armada, Presidents, Brigade, Red Hogs, Commanders, Red Wolves, Defenders, and Washington Football Team.
Yes. Yay. That the so at least the option for remaining football team is on the table. This is the crazy thing about the whole controversy about being the Washington Redskins, is that you finally, you became a better name. You became a much cooler name by just getting rid of it, period, and having it be Washington Football Team. There is something simplistic. There is something, like, we immediately we mocked it, right? It was something that you mocked. You went, Washington Football Team, WFT. Now that's what I see. They are the Washington Football Team. I love it. It makes me feel a little bit college sports-ish about it. It just works. It just is soccer. There's a soccer element of it to me where you go, it reminds me of, what is it, like just different teams that go with FC. And I like it. I love Washington Football Team. It's great. It's so good. And it's accidental. It was just, you stumbled into it, but you got to keep it. Red Hogs? No. Armada? Presidents?
Which one's the worst in your opinion?
Red Hogs.
Red Hogs is awful.
Yeah, Red Hogs is clearly the worst.
If I'm on that team, I'm requesting a trade or I'm retiring. It's the Red Hogs.
Well, actually, can I actually change my answer?
Yeah.
The worst one is, to me, Armada or something like that, because it's just so basic. At least Red Hogs is different. At least Red Hogs is something that stands out where you go, oh, Red Hogs? They had the Washington Hogs, right? That's one of their franchises.
There's like historical ties.
Historic, yeah, that tie-in. So, fine. It sounds really cheesy, but you're like, oh, we're the Red Hogs, and you get people that dress up back in the hog stuff. So, I'm actually going to change my mind completely and go, that's the best one because it's the unique one. Mm-hmm. All the other ones are just, I hate that about sports teams. That's why I didn't like the Cleveland Guardians either, is, really? You're going with Guardians? This is one of my... I love this about the NBA specifically. The NBA, every team, and why I've always hated it with the Raptors, their name was rooted in something that made sense. Mm-hmm. Their name wasn't just lame. Even teams like the Bulls had a connection to the city. You can choose things that are of a stereotypical nature. It's like why they have Presidents, I guess, would be the tie-in. But it's something that has a bit of a historical now buildup and actually relates to the city. If you live in Washington, I want to be the Washington Football Team. If not, it has to be a historical tie-in, and I just think some of those ones are a little too on the nose with it.
Yeah, I really, really fear for, I don't know, just the stuff that could come from naming a team the Red Hogs. I don't.
Yeah.
In the social media era... You are just, in the Photoshop era, you're just not naming a team that.
I think Brigade, why even throw that one in there?
No, that's what I'm saying. Brigade, Armada, those
Commanders,
names are,
Defenders.
I'm with JD. I like WFT the best. I think it's unique to North American sports. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know. I think, you know what it strikes me as? Even though it's brand new, it feels very nostalgic and historic to me.
Yeah.
Even though it's not. I like that one. And like, I wouldn't like it if there were eight teams named that. Like, Jacksonville Football Team or whatever, or Jacksonville Clown Team. But I like it standing out as the unique thing. And like, you're different than, you've gone with an unconventional naming approach that is just for you.
Yep. You know what else?
Go ahead.
Sorry, you go ahead, Ailish.
No, I was just going to say, I doubt that after all this time and this big announcement and they're doing it on 2-2-2-2, they want to have this like big thing. Imagine they're just like, and we're sticking with Washington Football Team. I feel like they've obviously changed it. So that's the only part that makes me feel a little bit sad, because I do like that too. I'm on team Washington Football Team.
They're definitely going to change it. Because they're probably a bunch of greasy little Red Hogs who want that money.
Greasy Red Hogs.
they want that extra coin that comes with some new uniforms and some new stuff.
True.
Plus, it's more conventional, and also they're run by Dan Snyder, who is he's really he's got to be worst owner in sports. Just off the top of my head, I'm thinking, is there worse than Dan Snyder right now? I don't think so. But the other part of Washington football team, Blake, that you just made me realize, giving that that analysis, is it's also cool that the city that is America, right, Washington, the capital, that they have taken football team and made it not soccer. That there's other places where our football club and the rest of the world hears that and goes, soccer. But that Washington, D.C., America's true game, football, that you have the Washington, it's we call it football here, team. It's perfect. It's actually so perfect. Do not change it, Dan. This is the easiest thing for you to do ever. Do not change that name to Red Hogs, which is obviously going to win. Red Hogs will win. I will say that right now. It's going
it, to... You it's think?
100%. If they put it up for a vote, it'll be Red Hogs. It won't be Armada. It won't be Brigade. No. It won't be Presidents. The Washington Presidents. Like, that really rolls off the tongue.
I'm one thing I'll say is I'm happy that they're not going with, like, a W, like Seattle Seahawks, Tennessee Titans, like, you know, when they have the same letter. That's just Jacksonville Jaguars, Buffalo Bills. I just feel like that's done, you know? And what kind of good W other than Washington Warriors maybe that they could do with a W?
That was one of the things that was pitched originally.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah,
well, it's not in the top eight. So anyway, text in what you think it will be or what it should be. If you're on Team Red Hogs, Team WFT, let us know.
Yeah, definitely the name Washington Wizards isn't regrettable at all.
Wizards! Let's steal that.
Yeah, well, that one was, we got to change this quick because some other stuff is happening with our old name.
Oh,
but, what was again, old though, name? Bullets, but it was the best. Washington
Whoa,
Bullets.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
I know, but it's actually a sweet name, and they should have just kept it and not been... Like, that one doesn't matter. That one was an overcorrection PC-wise. Bullets is amazing. Washington
what
Bullets.
What if they did Washington Water Hogs?
What?
What's the hog obsession here?
No, because
the hog is how they used to be named, and then you put the W in a water hog.
Yeah.
Have you seen one of
my brain weirdly went to, like, so we should do this word association. You got to think about it right now.
Yeah, go.
I went, so you went water hogs. I don't know if that actually counts, but mine went Washington wardrobes. Blake, W word.
Oh,
don't think.
I don't know.
Oh, boo. Just, you can't.
We just said
watermelons, Blake, or Vic said. That was the first word with the W.
Watermelons.
Yeah, that was
Washington...
just like the first.
Wed skins in the text and Washington warthogs. That's
kind of
like water hogs. I'm into that. Those are creepy looking too. Like, I'd be intimidated to go against a warthog. Yeah, keep them coming. Keep them fun. Two other things quick. One other thing. Today, those Tim Hortons cards I was talking about are out officially, the Upper Deck Team Canada cards. Including women's hockey players, including legendary NHL players and current NHL players. And I will be heading there to pick up a couple packs because they didn't want to sponsor them and send them to me. So I will go buy them. At your local Tim Hortons, you can grab them, see who you get. I am very excited to see. I haven't opened a trading card, like, I don't know, in 15 years, like, that's not something that I actually collected ever. I had the Pokemon cards, let me tell you. So I'm excited to go and, like, to see who you get.
That.
Like, it's an it's an exciting little adventure. Yep. I'm going to go leave my apartment, walk over across the street to my Tim Hortons and grab a couple packs and see who I get. Hopefully get a little poulain in there. So tag me if you go and what you get. So very fun. That's it for the A-list today. Send in the... Someone goes Washington wipes. Yeah, going to move on. Keep them coming. That was your A-list for this morning.